Hello, Saints. It's good to be with you again. Kind of cold outside today. It's kind of cloudy, overcast, but we'll make it. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord. Well, Father, we praise you, Lord. Man, I tell you what, Lord, you are such an awesome God. You are our God, and I am so thankful, Father, for your grace and your mercy upon us. I thank you, Lord, that you have provided everything that we need. You have opened up the blessings of heaven for our use. And Lord, it is awesome to consider what it is to be your chosen. And Father, I thank you that your grace has extended upon all of us, Lord, and that we're all called to be into the chosen, Lord. And so, in doing that, Lord, we ask that, we pray, Lord, that you place it in our hearts to trust you implicitly for everything that we need. And that includes healing and deliverance and provisions, protection, all of those things that are needed, Lord. We praise you for it. And we, Father, we ask for your anointing today upon the people to listen and to hear what you have to say regarding our healing. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, all right. I'd like to talk about a healing, whether it's man's way or God's way to do it. You know, today, in the Christian community, there's a whole bunch of opinions about how God works when he heals his people, about how a healing is done. Some people out there, they feel that God uses prayer to heal. Others, and for the most part, most of Christianity, believe that God now uses doctors to heal. And then some believe that that God uses doctors along with prayer to heal people. But let's look at the Word of God and see what it says about healing. And is there a way that we can find out for certain what God wants for us? Well, I believe there is. So let's go ahead and go to the scriptures and see what God's word really says on this subject of healing. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6 says, "Every word of God is tried. He is a shield unto them that take refuge in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." So in our minds, we think that we understand God and how he heals. So we think that we know the truth. But listen, if it's not in the Word of God, the scriptures will prove us to be liars. And if we add to his word, God's going to prove us wrong. The Lord says that we are destroyed because of our lack of knowledge. And that lack of knowledge is because we don't know the word of God, do we? Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." We have to understand that God does not change. Malachi 3 and 6 says, "For I, the Lord, change not." And that he's the same today, just like he was from the beginning. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea, and forever, Hebrews 13:8 says. So, with this biblical background, let's go to the scriptures to see what God says about illness and disease and healing. And if God doesn't change, we ought to be able to see what God's plan is for healing, right? A lot of people believe that God gives blessings to his children, but there's very few of them out there that understand that God also has set forth the curses too. You receive blessings when you follow God's law, and you receive curses if you disobey God's law. So let's look at the curses and the blessings in Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 1. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your beasts, the increase of your cattle, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall ye be when ye goest out. The Lord will cause your enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thee. They shall come out against thee one way, and shall flee before thee seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon thee in thy barns, and in all that thou puttest thy hand to, and he will bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord will establish thee for a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the peoples of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee, and the Lord will make thee plenteous for good in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord will open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain of thy land in its season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord will make thee head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and shalt not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So here we have the blessings that covers every aspect of our life. The blessings on our children. We have financial blessing. We have protection from our enemies. And if we dwell under these blessings, it means that none of us will have the diseases and illness that society has today. We'll be clean from all of that. Remember, when the Lord spoke this in Exodus 15:26, he said, "And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his eyes, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." So we can see that God's in complete control, because it's him who brings disease and God who heals. And if you remember what we said earlier, that God does not change. And if the Christians today understood that it's the Lord and not the devil that brings disease, then they'd look to God to heal what he has already given them. So let's go ahead and read some more about who it is that brings diseases, as the Lord speaks the curses for a disobedience to his word. Deuteronomy 28:15 says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Verse 18, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, the increase of thy cattle and the young of thy flock. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest in to possess it. The Lord will smite thee with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. The Lord will cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and shalt flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be tossed to and from among all the kingdoms of the earth. The Lord will smite thee with the boil of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scurvy, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord will smite thee with madness, and with blindness, and with astonishment of heart, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord will smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore boil, whereof thou canst not be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the crown of thy head. Verse 45, and all these curses shall come upon thee and pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, by reason of the abundance of all things. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. And he will bring upon thee again all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Are y'all seeing the magnitude of what's written here? And how's the Lord that's bringing these diseases on his people? He said, the Lord said that these curses will last forever. And some of you said, well, he didn't hit my disease. Well, let's keep on here. He covers that here in the next verse in Deuteronomy 28:61. He says, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Then verse 65, and among these nations shalt thou find no ease, and there shall be no rest for the sole of thy foot. The Lord will give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and pining of soul, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear night and day, and shall have no assurance of thy life. We just read a part of the curse for not obeying all of the law that is laid down. And you can see that it's not the devil that's bringing it, but it's God who brings these illnesses and diseases. Now, God didn't just allow disease to happen like a whole bunch of Christians believe, but God brings it on those who disobey him. It's the devil that administers the curse and sickness, but it's coming from God. Devil is just God's tool in his toolbox he uses to administer the curse. This written in his word. God has to obey the word. For each cause or each sin, there must be an effect, which is the curse. Psalms 38:3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine indignation, neither is there any health in my bones because of my sin. You can have sickness because of your sin, and Satan himself is used to carry out this sickness. He's just a tool that God uses to chasten his children. Isaiah 54:16 says, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the fire of coals and bringeth forth a weapon for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. Well, some of you sitting there saying, well, that was for Israel back then. That ain't for me. God did away with that old covenant when Jesus was born. Well, did he do away with that old covenant? No. Jesus said he came to fulfill it, right? Matthew 5:17-18 says, think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy it, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law until all things be accomplished. And some of you out there that have been indoctrinated by religion might not believe that God uses that devil to discipline his children. But it happens more than you think, I'm telling you. You remember Paul turning a man over to Satan in order to save his soul? 1 Corinthians 5:5. He said, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Y'all remember when how Jesus spoke about a person that's been turned over to the tormentors? If he doesn't forgive from their heart. Matthew 18:32-35. Listen to this. Then his Lord called him unto him and saith unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besoughtest me. Shouldest not thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. So we see here in God's mercy, he turns us over to the tormentors in order that we would repent, right? And we have to understand that these torturers are demon spirits that have been given authority to execute all the sickness and curses of the law. And these curses and sickness are authorized by God, but they're implemented by Satan. God loves us enough that he would rather turn you over to Satan for discipline than to see you live in your willful sin and to go to hell for all eternity. That's God's real love for you. And if you doubt the existence of hell, all you need to do is read the story about Jesus talked about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. So we got the curse of the law, which we're still under today, y'all. And that is, unless you are washed by the blood of Jesus, Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. What Jesus did for us on the cross is the only thing that voids this curse. It nullifies the curse at the cross. But even then, even so, if you don't believe all the promises in the Bible, you'll still be afflicted by these diseases and every other type of mental illness that non-believers have today. Now, in order to help us understand this, let's look at Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And y'all remember what we just read in Deuteronomy 28 about the curse. It's the same curse Paul is speaking about when he says that if you depend on your works to be righteous, you're still under the curse of Deuteronomy 28. Galatians 3:11-13 says, now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, For the righteous shall live from faith, and the law is not of faith, but he that doeth them shall live in them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And what did Jesus do by dying on the cross? He took away our sin. Hebrews 9:22, and according to the law, I may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and apart from shedding of blood, there is no remission without the shedding of blood. There is no remission without the shedding of blood. There is no remission. So, if he took away our sin, he also took away the curse for sin. Jesus took the penalty for the curse of Deuteronomy 28 that went with breaking the law of God. And if we're not under the curse, then we are under the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, praise God. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Here we got the prophet Isaiah was prophesying and speaking about Jesus, not only being pierced for our sin, but being healed by his stripes. And how are we healed by his stripes? We're healed because Jesus took our sin, and he gave us his righteousness. By faith in him, we ain't no longer under the curse of Deuteronomy 28, but we're under the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 because we've got Christ's righteousness, right? 1 Peter 2:24 again, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So we need to look at two things here. First, Jesus bore our sins on the tree, didn't he? And do you believe that Jesus bore your sins on the cross? If so, do you believe the next part also? This is what we got to look at now. By his stripes you were healed. So what Jesus did on the cross healed you. And that's past tense. It already happened according to the Bible. How can you believe the part of the scripture that says your sins were taken away at the cross and not believe the other part that says that you've been healed? And so do you have the faith to believe that you were already healed at the cross? Most Christians don't believe that they've already been healed. Therefore, they don't receive it. Jesus said in Matthew 8:13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. You know, do you only believe that Jesus died for your sin? And because of that, you're going to go to heaven someday? Well, it's going to be done just like you believe. And your only benefit of Christ's sacrifice is going to be just the eternal life to come. If that's all you believe, then that's all you're going to get. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, he says, according to your faith, be it done unto you. So if you choose not to believe that by Jesus' stripes we were healed, then you're not going to receive the promises and the benefits of the word. And if all you believe is that Christ died so that you get to go to heaven, then that's all you're going to get. You're going to receive only what you have faith for. And that's why Christians are just as sick as non-Christians out there. Now, if you believe that Jesus took away your sins, then by taking away your sin, he took away that penalty for every sin which is described in Deuteronomy 28. And just to give you just a few of the curses for sin, here's some of them is fever, one's inflammation, another's boils and tumors and sores, the itch, madness, blindness, confusion of mind, anxious mind, weary eyes, despairing hearts, several lingering illnesses. All the diseases of Egypt will cling to you. And then finally, Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So if Jesus became a sin for us, and Jesus took away our sins, we can go before the Lord and proclaim by faith, okay, Christ's righteousness, and we can receive all the promises throughout the new covenant. So what promises do we have if we choose to believe the word? So understand that when God tells us that by his stripes you were healed, and that's a past tense promises there, it says were healed, that when Jesus died on the cross, he accomplished total salvation from sin, which in turn does away with the penalty for sin, and that's the curse, right? Sin is the reason for the curse, and without sin, there is no curse. Y'all remember when Jesus said, it's finished? He said it was finished at the cross. And so we got to now enter into every promises that's in the Word of God by faith. Okay? Galatians 2 and 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Folks, that's the true gospel, because when Christ died, he reconciled you to God by exchanging you and your sinfulness for Jesus and his righteousness. What an exchange. And it ain't no longer us that live in our born again body again, but it's Christ that lives in us. And if it's Christ that lives in us now, how can Jesus inside of you have a disease and illness? He can't, can he? And that's what we have today. Rampant illnesses amongst God's people because we don't believe what the Bible says. And if you don't know your rights, God's going to let that devil come on you and curse you. And you're going to have sickness. And you're going to be stricken with disease just like non-believers out there. Excuse me. Remember what God said. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Y'all know that God is a just God. And that his word can never be broken. He's got to follow the curses that he set out in Deuteronomy 28. Day and night. All the time, the devil's sitting up there holding God accountable to his word. And God's got to follow that word. Revelation 12 and 10, and I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our God day and night. Yeah, we know that Satan is the accuser and is coming now before the Father to remind him of the curse of sin and how you don't believe that it's been taken away by the blood of Jesus. And since you don't believe God's word, you're going to have to suffer the curse. There's too many believers out there suffer and die when they don't really have to. They die at a young age, 20, sometimes 40 years old, 60 years old. I'm telling you, your only escape of that early death is to believe God's promises and just accept that you were healed at the cross. Not just eternally saved with your soul going to heaven, but in complete salvation of your body also. And once you believe God's word, then you have that legal right to come against the devil when that sickness comes on you. And you can rebuke him. And say to him, I ain't accepting this sickness because I was healed at the cross. You get out of here. I'll bind you up and cast you off of me right now in Jesus' name. And your only responsibility is faith in God's word. And then it's God's responsibility to fulfill his word and give you his blessing. And he'll do it. I guarantee you he'll do it if you'll just believe. But it's important to note that even when you're under the blessings of God, he never says that enemies will stop rising up against you. What God says is that they will come against you and they will flee from before you. Deuteronomy 28 and 7. The Lord will cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thee. They shall come out against thee one way, and shall flee before thee seven ways. That sickness and diseases is going to come against believers to test them. But if you understand God's word and you believe it, our enemy, Satan, will flee from you in seven different ways. So in other words, you now have the legal right to come against the devil by standing on God's word. Now let's look at some of these promises that God has given us when we choose to believe and have faith in him. Mark 16:16 said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe." Okay, we're talking about signs following believers, okay? "In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And if you'll notice, it says that these signs will accompany those who believe. And it don't say, take your loved ones to the doctor. No. What it says is, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Because this is God's method of healing, and he ain't changing for nobody. He wants to show his power through faith and through his believers administering his healing. And if you remember, he said, by his stripes you were healed. So how come you'd want to deny God the glory and to give it to man, or give the glory to some doctor out there, some quack out there? Jesus wants you to do what he did. He wants believers to place their hands on the sick and heal them. So we don't need to add to God's word by including doctors, because that is simply not found in the word of God. And he ain't changing just because our society has changed. And the simple fact is that Jesus said these signs will accompany those who believe. These signs will accompany those who believe. And Christians today have proven that they really are not believers. Why? Because believers will, among other things, you're going to see them laying their hands on the sick and appropriating God's power in making believers well. And I'm talking about believers here. I ain't talking about what we loosely call Christians today. All believers are Christians, but not all Christians are believers. That's because a believer hears and reads the word of God and believes what God says. Are you a believer? Or are you just a Christian by name only? I'm asking you a question here. Can you find any example in the Bible where believers in Jesus Christ were going to doctors for their healing or medical needs? No. Can you find any example of his apostles commanding believers to seek out doctors or physicians for their healing? How about in the early church that we see in the book of Acts? Did they use doctors? Well, I want you to look real close, because I can't find one. I can't find a verse that's when man or medicine was used for healing instead of God's power for healing. What I do find is this command from Jesus, and it is a command. He says in Matthew 28:19-20, "Go ye therefore and make disciples," a learner and a follower, "of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Listen, that was a command, and here's how it's supposed to work. The original disciples were to make disciples just like themselves, teaching them everything that Jesus taught them. And then those disciples were to make other disciples exactly imitating the same pattern and teachings of Jesus. And this opportunity to become a disciple of Jesus was to continue all the way down to where we are today. Even today, we're supposed to be doing and teaching everything that Jesus taught his disciples. Everything. The life Jesus and his disciples lived, we're supposed to imitate that same life. It wasn't supposed to stop, folks. You can't find a command for it to have ended anywhere in the Word of God. Our churches have taught that it's all passed away with the disciples. But that is far from the truth as east is to the west, praise God. Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely ye receive, freely give. God's way of healing is free. God's way of salvation or healing doesn't cost a thing. I want to ask you a question. How much does it cost to go to a doctor? How much do you pay for medical insurance every year? Here's an estimate of a few years ago. It's estimated that America spends over $2 trillion, that's trillion with a T, dollars each year on health care. You know how much God charges? Nothing. Jesus taught us to freely give what God has freely given us, and that includes healing. Now, here's a perfect example in the Word of God of doctors charging money to a sick woman that they couldn't help. They didn't help her, but they went ahead and charged her anyway, versus Jesus' free gift of healing. Luke 8:43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years who had spent all her living upon physicians. You hear that? Who had spent all her living upon physicians and could not be healed of any. They went ahead and charged her anyway, whether they could heal her or not. And that's the same way it is today. Verse 44, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Look at the faith here. And immediately the issue of her blood staunched. Verse 48, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. So here we have Jesus is our example, and he taught and demonstrated healing from God, not from man. This healing was from God. It was free, and it was sure, and it was complete. Jesus taught us that it's our faith that heals us. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Can you see that Jesus taught his followers to go to God in faith for their healing and not to run to some doctor? Man and our dependence on him is always going to cost you money. And by the way, that's money that the Lord gave you. If God provided all of our resources, how do you think he perceives us using his money to depend on some other savior other than himself? You might not call your doctor or the medication you're taking another god or savior, but anytime you're placing your faith for salvation, it don't make any difference whether it's from sickness, enemies, or financial worries, in anyone or anything other than the real God. That's exactly what you're doing. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. And in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose trust is in him. So when you're trusting in the doctors for your healing, that's trusting in man, and that's trusting in the flesh for your strength. The Lord says that cursed is the one who trusts in man instead of God. God hadn't changed. It's us that's changed. And if God heals by doctors now instead of salvation through him, then we're now saying that God makes mistakes, right? I want you to know something here. Here's a report from the Department of Health and Human Services, Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Here's what they found, and this is just a few years ago. In American hospitals alone, this is hospitals, healthcare-associated infections, that's when you walk into a hospital, you're subject to all of these infections, account for an estimated 1.7 million infections and 99,000 associated deaths each year. So you got to ask yourself, if God nowadays heals through modern medicine man, how come he's making so many mistakes, huh? Besides infections that happen while in the hospital, there are 440,000 deaths each year from accidental medical errors. That does not sound like God's way. 440,000 deaths each year from medical errors. Maybe you've forgotten the curse of 28 and how that whatever sickness comes on you is from the Lord. And we have another witness that everything you receive, both good and bad, are from God. John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. So now if what you have medically wrong with you is from God, why would you seek anything or anybody other than God to get rid of what he's already given you, huh? Because you know if he gave it to you, he can take it back away from you. Praise God. Man, just trust in God. Absolutely surrender to him in all areas of your life. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. Now, a lot of people look at that verse and only think of their salvation and the promise of eternal life. But that word saved is the Greek word sozo. And that means total salvation of your soul, body, healing, and circumstances. And David goes all through that in the Real Good News. I'm going to go through a little of it here. But you can get a better understanding if you go read the Real Good News from UBM1.org. Now that we've got a better understanding of what that word saved means, sozo, let's read that verse again and substitute saved for healed. For by grace have you been, not saved, but healed through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. So that gives us a new understanding to that one scripture right there. God don't want us looking out and working or seeking man to heal us so that they can glory in it. God wants you healed by faith so he can receive the glory. Matthew 9:35-10:1. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were distressed and scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers unto his harvest. Chapter 10, verse 1. And he called unto him his 12 disciples, and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. That's a real important scripture, because it shows just how Jesus healed everybody that came to him in faith. Everybody. And it shows us how Jesus had compassion on them and was concerned because there were so many people to heal, with only Jesus doing the work of healing. Jesus saw that the harvest is plenteous and that the laborers are few. So what Jesus did, he turned around and gave authority to all of us and sent us out to heal all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. That's our example. That's the way Jesus instructs us to heal. We are God's healers, okay? We're his hands now. We're the doctors of Jesus. God does not change because we're in the 21st century. And because we're so technologically advanced and have come so far in medical science, has Jesus changed his ways? Is he different? Does he do different now than he was 2,000 years ago? Well, that's not what the Word says. Hebrews 13:8-9 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today, yea and forever. Be not carried away by diverse and strange teaching. So we're warned here that Jesus doesn't change, and we're not to be led away by these strange teachings. But I'm telling you, most of the church kingdom has. That's exactly what they've done. We teach a worldly doctrine that man heals and God works through man to administer that healing. Listen, you ought to be able to see that relying on modern medicine and doctors for healing constitutes a different and strange teaching compared to what Jesus taught. It's contrary to what Christ taught. Jesus Christ is the same, and he hadn't changed. We're the ones that have changed because we follow after these strange teachings of what we call modern medicine. I'm telling you, these strange teachings ain't nothing more than pagan teachings that originated in Egypt, taken to Greece, and now what we call modern medicine today. And it's become a false god that Christians now use instead of relying on the real God for their healing. Time after time, we're given examples and instructions of how we as Christians are to heal our sick. Here's James chapter 5 and verse 14. Listen to this. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its workings. So what does that say about sick people? Does it say we need to take them down to the nearest doctor or the nearest pharmacy? Are we supposed to take two pills and call our doctor in the morning? That ain't God's way. Can doctors heal? No. If they'll tell you the truth, they'll tell you they can't do nothing but make you feel better. Only God can heal. John 3:27 says a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. Them doctors, all they can do, and this is just sometimes, is give you medicine to make you feel better for a little while. Who gets the glory when that happens? That's the doctors do. That ain't God's way of healing. God wants the glory for the healing. And he doesn't intend to share it with any man. Even more, God wants to teach you to trust in him completely. And yet God shows his love and compassion for us, even though healing by doctors has never been his way. God is merciful. And I believe he's given doctors to the unbelievers, not for his people. Because for the believers, we have God's word and his way of healing that are spelled out in Scripture. Clearly spelled out in Scripture. Because God's ways have never changed for his people. 2 Chronicles 16:12. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, dying in the 41st year of his reign. Now, this was a godly king who relied on the Lord most of his life. But we see that later in his life, instead of trusting in God to heal him, he trusted in physicians, and he died early, because he did. For the children of God, physicians are not God's way of healing. It wasn't back then, nor is it for us today. And that's why, medically speaking, you don't see a bit of difference between Christians and non-Christians. They're both plagued with cancers and every other kind of disease and sickness that we read about in Deuteronomy 28. Here's God's way of healing. Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, what things soever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. Can you believe this, folks? Can you take God at His word that if you and somebody else agree in prayer that it's going to be done? And if you believe this promise from Jesus, you'll believe God enough to put your trust totally in Him and Him alone. Even if that means putting your life in His hands. So do you trust God with your life? Or do you feel more comfortable trusting your life to a doctor? Because your actions are going to speak louder than your mouth. And if you found out that you had cancer today, would you put your trust in God or God's people to anoint you with oil and to have them pray over you with the prayer of faith? I'm telling you, if you do, you're going to see miracles happen. James chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up." Would you have the faith to be prayed over? Never again going back to the doctor, and just have faith in the Word of God, because it says you already are healed. And friend, that is faith, and it's the kind of faith that God honors and He answers every time. James 2:14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but have not works? Can that faith save him?" So if you talk it out with your lips that you believe God can and has healed you, then we have to look and see, are your works or your actions agreeing with what you speak? So don't hedge your bets there by seeking out salvation from medications and doctors instead of relying solely on the Lord. Because He says, by your actions you are confessing that you're afraid to totally trust God. You can't fool God. He knows your faith just as well as He knows your heart. And if you don't totally trust God and God alone, then you really don't have any faith needed to be healed. James 2:20 says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren?" And your actions are going to show the Lord where your faith really lies. And if your actions don't back up what you say you believe, then you're providing proof that you really don't believe it after all. And what will help you to overcome any fear that the devil tries to put on you is to realize that whatever comes your way is from God. Because it says in John 3:27, "A man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven." And contrary to what we've been taught, it's God whom you receive your illness from and not the devil. That sickness may come from the hand of the devil, but God's the one who sent it. Just recall the curses in Deuteronomy 28 to see where this sickness and disease came from. And if it's God who brings the curse on you, don't it make sense to seek God to take that curse away? But you know what? Most of Christendom turns to doctors and medication to take away what God has given them, instead of going right to the source of where that sickness came from, which is God. We always try to take another way, that easy way that bypasses God. Instead of God being our Savior, man is now our Savior for healing. It says, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength." God wants you to repent of your sin while trying to teach us to have real faith and to trust in Him for everything. It's not enough to have faith with your lips. You got to have faith by your actions or by what you do. And James speaks to that when he says in chapter 2 and verse 18, "Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith." You might say that you trust God. But how does the Lord really know unless you're tested and you back your walk up with your action. So we got to start and look at each trial as a learning opportunity to grow in our faith. Praise God. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." That's past tense. It means it's already been taken care of. And if you believe this promise is from Jesus, then you're going to be healed. You know, that promise right there in Mark 11:24 doesn't leave any promise out. It's what ain't nothing you have too big for God. Nothing that you have is too difficult for Him to take away. Cancer, diabetes, mental illness, Alzheimer's, AIDS, anything, born deficiencies, anything you have is nothing for God to heal it if you've got your complete trust in Him. And if you have confessed your sins and believe that God has healed you, then you're going to receive that healing. That healing's already there. But if you doubt and you don't fully believe in your heart, then you ain't going to receive anything. That healing will be so far away from you. Remember James 1:6. "But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." God's word can't be broken, but as wonderful as the healing promises are, every one of them has a condition to them. And that condition is why most don't receive the healing that they prayed for, because they're double-minded and they doubt that God can really heal them. And that's why people hedge their bets and they go to the doctor. And they pray all the same, but they go to the doctor, just in case something happens, you know. And Scripture confirms that the person who does this will not receive anything from the Lord. And if you can find one instance in Scripture where Jesus refused to heal anybody, let me know, because I hadn't. And some people out there saying right now, "Well, if it's God's will, then He'll heal me." Well, it is God's will. Everywhere you see it in the Word of God, He always healed all that ask. And if you say, "If it's God's will to heal me," then what you're doing is putting it in God's hands and say, if it's His will, is showing that you don't have faith. Because it is in His word that you already are healed. "By His stripes you were healed," it says in 1 Peter 2:24. And those that believe God's word can enter into that promise of His healing. And the problem is that most don't know what the Bible says about God's healing promises. Therefore, they don't have the belief to be healed. And that's why God's children are just as sick as non-believers. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So folks, get a hold of this message. Get a hold of God and start trusting in Him. Now, I'm out of time. Hopefully, we'll pick it up again a little bit next week. Praise God. God bless you, and we'll see you next week, God willing.